April Fool's pranks have been around since maybe 1392, and broadcasters have been taking advantage of April Fool's pranks for quite a long time. We've got an all-star panel on This Week in Radio Tech talking about April Fool's pranks and their favorite ones that they participated in. Coming up next on Twerked.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio, audio problems disappear when you get angry, at angryaudio.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech, the show where we're talking about everything from the microphone to the light bulb at the top of the tower. Just like that one that really did come from a tower in Lula, Georgia. Hi, I'm Kirk Harnack, and we're talking about radio and April Fool's pranks. We got a great show, and here's how great the show is. Don't get scared. Hold on to your children. Hold on to your hats. Look at this. Look at all the people here. And Chris Shearer is going to join us shortly. And I think a couple others may join us during the show as well. So, hey, welcome in. I want to say hi. Let's just go in order here. Chuck Kelly. Hey, welcome in, buddy. How are you doing?
Good to see you, my friend.
And Bill Jackson from K-Love. Hey, good to see you.
Thank you, Kirk. Glad to be here.
And Cornelius Gould is here. Hey, Corny. Good to see you. Robert Combs is here as well. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
From Spring, Texas. Cam Cornelius is here.
Hello.
Jim Grum Graham. Hello, Jim Graham.
Hello, I'm a newbie.
Well, good to see you. And also, Dave Suplee is here. Hey, Dave, welcome in.
Thanks, thanks, Kirk. Good to see you. Good to be here.
These are all radio professionals. Don't try this at home. These are all professionals. And we're going to have some April Fool's pranks. Now,
he resembles that remark.
Exactly. So I've always wanted to do this because radio stations, actually media of all kind, are actually known and have been known for years in the practice of April Fool's jokes. Let's see if we can bring Chris Shearer in. Let's see. Chris, is he coming in? I see a big spinning circle. We'll try later. We'll see if he comes in. I was doing some reading about April Fools, and it turns out that, indeed, media outlets have been a big part of this. Let me give you a quick setup here. April Fool's Day is an annual custom on April 1st consisting of practical jokes and hoaxes. Jokesters often expose their actions by shouting, what?
April Fool's.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, at the recipient. Mass media, and this is according to Wikipedia, and you know they're always right, mass media can be involved in these pranks, which may be revealed on the following day or maybe the same day. The day is not a public holiday in any country except in Odessa in Ukraine, where the 1st of April is an official city holiday. Mm. The custom of setting aside a day for playing harmless pranks upon one's neighbor has been relatively common in the world historically. And as we move through, I've got a couple other April Fool's historical notes to pass along. But we in the broadcasting business are kind of famous for pulling April Fool's jokes, and maybe more so in the back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I don't know if broadcasters still do as much April Fool's jokes for fear of litigation, fear of, you know, the sue happy, the litigation happy society that we live in today. Maybe you get sued. I don't know. I worked at a radio station in Mount Sterling, Kentucky, where this is before I worked there. The April Fool's joke they chose to do one year was they during the newscast in the morning on April 1st, they said, well, we have this announcement from Southwestern Bell Telephone Company. Southwestern Bell asks everyone to please take your phone off the hook and place it in a nearby trash can, because today they're going to be blowing out the lines. Yeah. And so they did this and ran into a problem. About a half hour later, the big switch office in Winchester, Kentucky, calls the radio station and says, what the heck are you guys doing? We've had a fire here at the switch office. The the station had a few calls from listeners saying things like, yes, my phone's been very scratchy, and will they do this again tomorrow? Because I'm already at work. I can't put my phone in the trash can. So, needless to say, they didn't repeat that that particular one. We're just kind of going to go in order here. I know that Chuck Kelly has been in radio for about 120 years.
More or less.
Chuck, you've got a couple of stories. Why don't you tell us your favorite April Fool's joke story?
Back in the mid-70s, I was Charlie Kay on WLRW in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, working my way through college as the all-night guy. And we had a newsman, Larry Steierwalt, that used to come out. I wonder if he's still in the business. I have no idea. He used to come in about 10 minutes before 6. His first newscast was 6 a.m. He would pull the internet or the teletype copy off the Model 15 teletype machine from UPI, and he would come sit in the studio and read it live. He was rip and read the whole way, and so on April Fool's, the Model 15 has, I don't know if you remember the old Model 15s, but they had a couple of screws you could undo, and then you could pull off this panel, and you could slip in a keyboard if you happen to have a Model 15 keyboard. But being a ham operator, I had one at home. So I slipped it in, and what it does is it interrupts the loop signal and lets the teletype print anything you type. So if the last story in the Illinois News and Brief came on, I got in there and typed one more story. Larry dutifully sat down in the chair, he read all the news, and then the last one, he announced that 24-year-old Larry Steierwalt had been arrested for running down the streets in purple polka-dotted underwear. He read his own name. And at the end of it, I asked him to go back and read it. I was live too, right? So I asked him to go back and read it again. It was a good one. We had fun with that.
He read his own name.
He read his own name on the newscast.
At what point did he realize that he read his own name?
The second time through.
Oh, God.
That's cool. That's great.
Chuck, will you have it? Will you have another story?
I do have one more for you.
But wait, we'll come back to you, okay?
If you
can hang with us. Bill Jackson. Bill and I have become friends, met about, a year ago, a little over a year ago, and I've really enjoyed his friendship. He's an engineer and studio engineer with EMF. And Bill, you've had quite an illustrious history in radio, I understand.
Yeah, I've done a few things. I was a programming, then the marketing promotion guy, and slipped some engineering in there, and now I do engineering full time. And I kind of wanted to do what my esteemed colleague to my right, left, this guy.
Let's check. Oh, yeah. Okay.
This guy.
Chuck. Yeah.
Back in the day when we used to listen, we were jocks and we used to listen to an off-air feed. We were listening to a tuner feeding the headphone amp. It was a great April Fool's Day prank to take kind of a newbie who was doing overnights or a 7 to midnight show and prank them. And the way we used to do that is we'd walk into our core server room, technical room, what have you. And of course, you'd have a Denon tuner in there. And we would, when the jock cracked the mic and he'd start talking, we'd change it to the competitor. Except one night we did that and this jock froze. And so as he starts opening his break on some undisclosed station at some market that I may or may not have worked in a former life when I was much more precocious, he cracks the mic and goes, gives the calls and starts doing his ramp, and we reach over and we punch the button to the competition, and you hear they're taking over. Sure enough, the police show up.
Oh no.
Really? Oh, no. You think it, and it was like, dude, if that ever happens, just take your ear off and keep talking.
Oh gosh! Oh my goodness! Oh, that's terrible. That
yeah.
You know, almost as good a joke would be to insert the program delay that builds out into the headphone feed so that when he opens the mic, it starts building out.
Hey, hey, no, headphone don't feed. Jump ahead. You're stealing my bit.
Oh, okay, okay, sorry, sorry, okay. All right. Oh. Let's because I suspect he's got more than one. Bill, thank you. That was awesome. Because I suspect he's got more than one, let's hit up Cam Cornelius. Cam, you've been a figure in the industry for so long, television and radio.
Yep.
Why don't you tell us what's on your mind here?
Well, you know, I mainly do voiceovers for stations now, but back in the day I worked for J-Core at Y107 in Nashville, and we did the Fool's Day parade every year, but I think our favorite was one night a few of the jocks, I'll keep everybody's name out of this because one night one of the jocks put on an extra long cut of a song and had to go to the bathroom. So he went into the bathroom, and when he was in there, we snuck into the engineering closet and slowly faded down the speaker he was hearing in the bathroom. So it sounded like dead air. And you hear him just scream, and he runs out with his underwear around his ankles, hobbling to the studio. And he gets in the studio, and the song's still playing. And then, you know, of course, we're in there like April Fools. But it was fairly funny. Just no pants on, just hobbling to the as fast as he could do.
The penguin walking.
That's right. So that was pretty fun.
Oh my gosh! Oh, Cam, can we come back to you? Will you have another story for us?
Okay, not from my station, but there are some that I recall just from kind of radio history that were kind of like very funny.
So. All right, folks, you are watching or listening to This Week in Radio Tech, tort number, 538. I'm not sure that it matters a whole lot. We've got a whole bevy of terrific guests with us, and our show, This Week in Radio Tech, is brought to you in part by our friends at Broadcast Bionic. You stay tuned because we got many more stories to tell.
Camera One from Broadcast Bionics, designed to bring video to your audio content, visualizing radio and podcasts for social media. Camera One can automatically create, capture, and brand professionally switched video for live streaming or upload, making your production shareable. Control and configure using a web browser on any device. Camera One is available as a 4-camera or 8-camera system using the Blackmagic A10 Mini range, including the A10 Mini Extreme. You can use cameras to suit your studio and your budget. You'll need one camera for a studio wide shot, and usually one camera per microphone. A standard multi-channel sound card or IP driver monitors audio from each studio microphone, and we work natively with Axia systems. Ideally, this will be a post-fader feed from each mic, although you can use pre-fade audio or a mic split if that's all you have available. These audio levels are used to intelligently switch the video feed when each contributor is talking. You can also group microphones together into one shot and use the audio from a mixer's aux bus. You can use Camera One's auto switch feature, or disable it and switch using the on-screen buttons or the buttons on the ATEM. Recordings can automatically start when you tell the system you're on the air. This on-air indication can be linked to your studio's red lights via IP or an Avantech Atom GPIO interface. You can quickly browse all the videos that have been automatically created during your broadcast, download them, and post. Camera One is a user-installable system. You'll need a good-spec Windows 10 PC, i7 with plenty of storage, and 16GB of RAM. It's better if this machine isn't used for anything else. Remember, you can control the software in a web browser on another device on your network. Camera One, a thrifty way of creating scroll-stopping video from your show or podcast from Broadcast Bionics.
Thanks a lot, Broadcast Bionics, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. Really appreciate you. And you can get Broadcast Bionics products in the U.S. from Broadcaster's General Store at bgs.cc and from other places, too. So all around the world at bionic.radio. All right, it's Kirk Harnack, and I'm here with a Brady Bunch full of great guests. Hello, and we have heard already from Chuck Kelly, Bill Jackson, and Cam Cornelius, and I think Robert Combs is probably next on the list. Robert, we're talking April Fool's jokes, and I should preface a little bit of history about April Fool's. In Ireland, it turns out, it was traditional to entrust the victim with an important letter to be given to a named person. Well, that person would read the letter, then he would ask the victim to take it to someone else, and so on, and so on. The letter, when opened, contained just the words, "Send the fool further." Send the fool further. And, yeah. All right. So I guess, you know, it's all around the world. Robert Combs from Spring, Texas. What story do you have about radio and April Fools?
Well, one of the, like most engineers back in those days, we started out on the radio doing overnights, as that was where we all, most of us got our start in radio. And of course, doing the overnights, when the PD, who was the morning man, came in every morning, I had a list of duties to do. I had to have his coffee made, his first hour of music pulled off the CDs, the first hour of commercials ready to go. And then I had his CD of comedy bits that I would go, and as soon as he gave me a list of which ones to go card up, I would go card up for his first hour of show. So when he came in that April Fool's, his wife, he and his wife had just had a child. So he was getting maybe 2-3 hours of sleep over the past week. So I knew he wasn't going to be very well prepared. Not as he normally was. So when he came in, I had switched out all of the music. I had it in the proper CD case, but I had switched it out with all Christmas music. And so normally he would just look at the log and say, okay, cut 6. And the CD players were right here to his right. And he would just look and go, okay, cut 6, and then hit play. And then Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came out instead of Inagata DeVita.
and the two are so similar.
Yes. And he would just, and he reached over and he hit the next button instead of the stop button. Oh. And it just went to the next song. So he had already had the next song play in the next CD player. So he hit it. That was the Perry Como Greatest Christmas Hits. And so he finally just get stopped, dead silence, reached up, pulled a cart, started a commercial break, and just turned around and said, "You had better have my other music ready somewhere." Luckily, I just had them stacked out of the cases, sitting back in the back, ready to go.
You gave him the radio dream for real.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome. And, you know, part of our theme here is not just about the radio pranks, but, you know, what part did the engineer play in making that prank happen? And we can see, you know, that does happen. It takes the help of the engineer to get the prank to happen. Well, no stranger to pranks at all is Cornelius Gould. And Cornelius, I'll read this later. Let's go ahead and get right to Corny. You worked at the CBS stations in Cleveland, didn't you?
Yes, they were not CBS at the time of the prank, but yes.
All right, what have you got for us? Regale us.
Well, the prank that they had was a pretty epic one, actually. They decided that for April Fool's, they were going to switch two of the stations, the classic rock station and the modern rock station, and, you know, just take over the stations for the day. So they had all this production made up and everything as if it was a format flip. And, you know, people driving in were like, you know, it just really shook the audience. And they had, you know, Jocks would come on. It's like, you never liked that old music anyway. Here's some good stuff, you know, playing more, you know, modern rock on the, you know, the classic rock station and vice versa. So it was pretty interesting, the reactions, you know. It's like, you know, from the people who, you know, love the classic rock station, which was NCX, it was WNCX 95, which is classic rock forever. So they've got their hardcore audience that, you know, will, you know, stay with that station forever. So they were pretty jarred. And then you had the modern rock people going, what? It changed formats, but they didn't seem to be too shook up about it because, you know, the station was, you know, changed formats before in them. But some of them figured out that, you know, the modern rock was on the classic rock station, which was the better signal. So you had this mixture of people calling with disgust and other people going, oh, cool, I can listen to it now. So it was pretty fun. It was interesting. Speaking of the engineering part, having to flip both stations and then flip it back at the time with as little interruption as possible.
That was back before audio over IP. You probably right, had that, what, you know, patch was, cables or punch downs,
punch block stuff. You know,
Corny,
eight-pole double throw switch.
I'm trying to remember how I did. I think I may have like punched the program signals over and kind of slowly bridged them. You know, threw some bridging clips in and pulled the others out or something like that. I think is what I ended up doing.
Corny, I when I had you full screen here like this, I couldn't help but notice that you have a particular item in your office there, and I have one too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, G-Force Junkie.
Yes.
You got one way back in the back of your office there.
Way back in the background, yeah.
Yeah. Why do we like these mugs?
I think Jeff Stepman did that for one NAB.
Oh, no. This is a mug from the Stratosphere, from the
exactly.
Big Shot.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I think Jeff Stepman found that and gave me that one when we were there. Yeah.
And I became immediately jealous. I thought, "Oh, which gift shop is that in?"
Yeah.
I was thinking it was the cartoon G-Force.
Oh, was there a cartoon G-Force?
Well, there was, yeah. Like Masters of the Universe or something like that. G-Force. Bizarre history. Look it up on YouTube. You'll see it.
If that works for you. And we're all for it.
Well, thank you.
Corny wrote an amazing bunch of algorithms, a whole new set of stuff for the Omni 11 audio processor, and it's called G-Force.
G-Force.
Nice.
G-Force.
And the G is for Gould, right?
So they say.
So they say. All right. Our next guest, Jim Graham. Jim Graham, extraordinary engineer, retired, and yet he can't get out of radio. And if you don't know Jim Graham from his postings on Facebook, you're missing out, because Jim posts the most hilarious stuff. So, Jim, have you ever been involved with an April Fool's prank?
I'm sitting here thinking I don't remember doing any specific April Fool's jokes, because almost every other day I'm doing something to somebody. One of the things that I've been known to do is connect a microphone to the headphone feed back to the studio. You can't do that anymore because no one's live. But when they were, I would connect it and make flatulent noises while they were talking on the air, and it would sound to them like, you know, did I do that?
You hook a remote mic and mix that into the Jock Only's headphone feed, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Correct.
Oh, gee.
Mm-hmm. We did that a lot. The last time that happened, another one of the guys came in and said, hook it up for me. And I'm like, no, man, I've done that too frequently. I'm going to get in trouble. He said, no, you just show me how to do it. So I did, and he started talking to the guy on the air, and the guy started talking back to him. And the receptionist went in there to check on poor Joe and said, Joe, what's wrong with you? Because I think Rick said something like, you know, no one else can hear me. And Joe's like, yeah, they can. Yeah. What are you doing today? Oh, yeah, I've done lots of stuff. The orgasmic lady in the headphones was a good one, too. That freaked that poor guy out.
Just in the headphones, right?
He came out of the studio. Just either on the monitors or the headphones is where I would play stuff. And I've had a few practical jokes played on me. It's a long story about the hooker I picked up, but that's another story.
Oh, my goodness.
Everyone knows, goes silent on that one.
we're just jealous of your April Fool's prowess.
It's all the time. Ask my wife. She gets stuff all the time around here. I leave things, you know. One time I had they used to give tours at the radio station, and I took a key and glued it onto a piece of wood, and I would ask people, what is this? And they would there and look at it, and about half of them would say, a keyboard.
Ah!
Ba-dum-bum!
Oh!
A keyboard.
That hurt.
Try the VR.
That's
18 seconds of our lives we'll never get back.
Don't forget to take a tip your waitress.
There you go.
Exactly.
I'll be here all the week.
I'm here all week. Tip your server.
You are watching or listening and suffering through This Week in Radio Tech, episode 538. It's Kirk Harnack with some extraordinary guests, and we're talking about April Fool's pranks on the radio. There's an interesting story. I mean, it's fabulous, about the big prank that was pulled by the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, back in 1957. And we're going to hear about that coming up for you in just a minute. This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you in part by Broadcasters General Store and by Innovonics and the Aaron 655.
The Aaron 655 is the latest addition to the Innovonics family of rebroadcast receivers, designed specifically for FM broadcast translators, also referred to as relay transmitters. The Aaron 655 is unique as an uncompromising DSP-based HD radio and FM receiver combined with a powerful three-band audio processor and dynamic RDS encoder. IP connectivity adds streaming capabilities, and a web browser interface gives you total remote control of the unit from any PC or mobile device. The Aaron 655 gives you maximum flexibility for program sources. Select program audio from analog FM, digital channels HD 1 through 8, streaming sources, and analog or AES digital line inputs, all with assignable failover audio backup. The internal RDS encoder allows you to customize your RDS messaging. You can use incoming off-air RDS data, convert HD radio pad data to RDS, convert streamed metadata to RDS, or receive IP telnet data. Comprehensive audio processing includes gated and windowed AGC, a unique syllabic leveler, three bands of compression, and both wideband and independent HF limiting. Easy setup is achieved by using 10 factory presets and 10 customizable presets. The processor also supports dayparting, allowing automatic preset changes to follow different programming formats throughout your broadcast day. The front panel has an OLED display and jog wheel with intuitive menus for easy setup, advanced control, and editing for all operating parameters. The Aaron 655 dynamic web interface gives you total remote control of the unit from any PC or mobile device. A comprehensive set of menus includes a quick overview of now playing info, input-output control, processor options, RDS encoder, alarms and notifications, SNMP settings, and much more. You can also listen to the live audio broadcast streamed through the web interface. On the back of the Aaron 655, you've got an antenna input, left and right analog inputs and outputs, AES digital input and output, MPX output for the rebroadcast transmitter, and a network port for the IP interface. There's also a terminal block with a series of connections to interface and remote control management equipment. The Aaron 655 is compatible with worldwide radio broadcast standards and operates on 90 to 230 volts AC.
Check it out, the Aaron 655 from Broadcasters General Store from Innovonics. And you can get them at Broadcasters General Store. Their website is bgs.cc, bgs.cc. You can call them. I've got the number memorized. I've been calling all along at 352-622-7700. 352-622-7700. Good folks at Broadcasters General Store.
Is that thing wireless? I saw the meters going, but I didn't see wires going into it.
They were hidden in the
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering. It's going floating there. April Fools.
Well, speaking of April Fools, you know, the BBC pulled a big April Fools joke. Elaborate pranks have appeared, as we know, on both radio and TV, also in newspapers and websites. And they've even been performed by some large corporations. In one famous prank in 1957, the BBC broadcast a film in their Panorama current events series purporting to show Swiss farmers, and they were picking freshly grown spaghetti in what they call the Swiss spaghetti harvest. The BBC were soon flooded with requests to purchase a spaghetti plant, forcing them to declare the film a hoax on the news the next day. Can you imagine what that was like?
The British Broadcorping castration.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some pretty good outtakes from the BBC News things you can see on YouTube.
Oh, I've never seen the outtakes.
Oh, there's a whole series of them where the reporters are caught by surprise, you know, when the camera goes in for an insert. And the one that cracked me up was one where it cuts to this woman reporter. Just, I guess she must have had a bad lunch or something because she just started going, oof. And then she realizes the camera is on. And it has
to go to the news. Happens to the best of us, doesn't it?
Yes.
Dave Suplee has been all over the country and built studios. And Dave, I'm amazed at all the things I see you doing. And I'm sure you've been involved in an April Fool's prank or two. Tell us what you got.
I wasn't involved in this when I was a bystander in this, when I was actually part of the audience. In 1976, I was a senior in high school. And I was working at a local radio station, but the competition, the bigger and better station that made people, that made their employees wear a tie to work, including on weekends, did something not necessarily on the grand scale of the BBC, but they pranked the audience. They came up with what was later known as the Great Dolphin Hoax of Central Pennsylvania, where they they laid it out very well. About a week and a half ahead of time, they started running stories about some show dolphins. And I went back and researched this after I posted a few things on Facebook about it. There were show dolphins that escaped from a Delaware into the Chesapeake, and they swam around the Chesapeake for a couple of days, and they had people, they did this as like the tail end of their newscast, and they had people that said, oh yeah, I saw them, you know, they're just playing with balls and doing stuff, and they're very smart dolphins, and supposedly they were from South America, so they were freshwater dolphins. Of course, there's no such thing, but that's what they said in the story, and eventually they decided to make their way north, because that's what dolphins do in spring, is migrate north. So they went up the Susquehanna River, and several of them broke off about halfway up past Harrisburg, and went up the Juniata River, which is where Lewistown is, which is where the radio station was broadcasting from. Several others progressed on up the Susquehanna. We don't know what happened to them. The ones that went up the Juniata River, you know, this continued every day or so, or every other day you'd have a story about what was going on with these dolphins. And they had fake experts. They had people from, you know, Penn State who were, you know, marine wildlife experts. And they had a couple of people who were fishing along the river that had seen them, that they interviewed. And, you know, so they played it very, very well. And on April 1st, they announced in the morning that they were expected to be, you know, at the river bridge across the Juniata River in Lewistown at noon. There were hundreds, maybe thousands of people lined up. And they claimed that they had read about it in the Philadelphia Inquirer. They had seen it on Harrisburg television stations. There were stories all over the place about it, allegedly, but it really only appeared on one radio station. And they later on announced that, hey, guess what? It was a fake. But there are people that still claim that they actually saw the dolphins swimming up the Juniata River.
Fake news.
Fake news. Yeah. Right. And it was just great. The people I knew, I later went on to work with the people that pulled it off, and they were crazy individuals. But and it was done with the full support of management.
Now, Dave, isn't that the same area the Pennsylvania Sasquatch was hanging around too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What?
Yeah, we've had a lot of Sasquatch. We have a radio station called Bigfoot here now, so.
Yeah, I think they're planting more than corn in that area of Pennsylvania. Growing more than corn, that's all I'm saying.
Well, they're trying to get it, they're trying to make it legal now, so it's coming.
Legal corn.
Legal corn, yeah. What kind of corn that makes you feel good?
Dave, I'm amazed at the planning that went to start this several days before April Fool's Day.
They said they actually planned it out a year ahead of time.
Oh, my God.
They decided that they were, next year, here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it.
And I can't see any real, you know, legal liabilities and repercussions for that, except for maybe all the people gather to see them somewhere and somebody, you know, steps on somebody's toe and gets upset.
Yeah, you probably couldn't do it today. I mean, it was nobody got harmed. No dolphins were injured, of course.
Your station is dolphin safe.
Yes. Yeah. Freshwater dolphins, of course.
Well, they are more resilient. You know?
They really are. Well, they can handle the cold up here in central Pennsylvania.
I can see that.
Oh, we do get the rare April ice snowstorm, which they didn't, fortunately, they didn't have. The weather was good. So, no, there was, you know, and people took it very well. And they're actually in the local newspaper. They had a picture that somebody had, that they had faked, that had dolphins in the river, you know, jumping over the bridge. So everybody kind of took it very well. And it was something that we still remembered in the area today.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's a yeah. Excellent. All right. My side's hurt now. That's a good thing.
Kirk is about to blow a side out.
Oh, gosh. Well, Chris Shearer, you are next up. I'm sure you've got a story to tell about
April
Fools. Well,
first, I want to thank all these other acts for opening for me tonight. I'm glad everybody could come and join me for my set. The good thing, the fun thing about going last is I got to go through my list and weed out all the items that have already been mentioned in some way.
You actually may not be last. I think there's more than one story, but I get you.
Well, last in this round at least.
Yeah, this is a round. Yeah.
I will say at the top of the show, you mentioned the AT&T blowing the dust and dirt out of the lines. I worked at a station where the engineer did that. It wasn't me. But he sent a memo to the staff saying, come see me to get your plastic bag to put on your phone so the dust doesn't blow everywhere. It'll keep it contained. And there was a mad panic at 5 o'clock, everybody running to his office to get a bag. And he purposely left like at 4:45 that day. So the salespeople and program, everybody's running around in a panic because they don't have their plastic bags because they're going to blow the dust out of the phone lines overnight. So well played, my friend. So that was one. The one that I had a good time with, and I kind of cut you off on that, Kirk, the profanity delay. We did that to a guy when I was in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh,
and this is when they were the newfangled kind that would build delay, and you know you could build in and build out slowly. So it was an AM talk, pseudo talk entertainment, and had the delay in line. And I don't remember if it was just in his headphones or it was on the air feed, but either way, the jock heard it, and we started building the delay. And of course, we didn't tell him, and had set very slowly. So he starts out with his rap, and he's going along, and everything's fine. And then he starts kind of slowing down. And getting slower. Till we hit the button, and all of a sudden it started catching up, and he said, "Well," and he got back and kind of tried to brush it off, but didn't know what happened. And then we waited a minute or two, and we hit the button again, and the whole process repeated. I don't think we pushed him a third time because by then he had gotten to a commercial break. So we went in the studio to check on him, and of course, you know, three engineers walk in with a big grin. What do you think's going on, right? And he just looks at us and he just says, I thought I was having a heart attack. Don't ever do that again. We're like, well, the joke's been had. We can't do it again. You'll know what's happening. So, fun at his expense and a little bit of listener confusion as to what the hell is he on? But quite the good time. I'll throw out a couple others real quick that aren't really stories. Corny mentioned the format swap. I think a lot of stations have pulled that one over the years. Mm-hmm. And there was the other one. Do you remember the silly jingles for the EAS or the EBS tests?
Oh, yeah, the Stevens and Gridnick jingles.
Yeah. And I heard a few. They're a bunch on YouTube, I found, but it's just pretty funny to say, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system, you know. So those are
keep
fun
going.
Oh, the good old days.
If I recall, the FCC did not like that.
Yeah, they rewrote the rules for EAS, said that it must be spoken.
If I recall, he didn't like it.
Wow. Ah. Thanks, Chris. That's awesome. I wonder if we had, I don't know. It's just not as fun today anymore, is it? There's still some live shows. There's still some good live shows, yeah. But I don't know what you can do. Everybody's so serious now.
Yeah.
All our bits are pre-vetted. That's Chuck Kelly. The bits are pre-vetted. When I first started working at Telos, we had phone systems, and there was a button on the phone that had like some characters on it, like an ampersand, then an octothorpe, the pound sign and exclamation. So you put that was to connect to your profanity delay. That was the dump button. And I always thought, well, what that should do, that shouldn't just dump the audio. That should actually insert some pre-vetted profanity, some lawyer-approved profanity.
Or, darn it.
Fiddlesticks. Chuck, I think you had another story. We got a few more minutes, so we want to hear your second story.
Well, I was going to build on what Chris said. I've got another story, too, but I'm going to build on what Chris said. Similar story. Also made possible by our friends at Eventide. One of the very first, as I've been told the story, one of the very first harmonizers was shipped to a station in Chicago where a friend of mine was chief engineer. And it was wire wrapped. And he put it in his office and he hooked it up in between, as we've been talking about here, in between the console and the headphone amplifier. And he waited till the next morning, because in that radio station, there was a guy that was a jockey. You probably all heard about him, Fred Winston. Winston had a voice that was a basso profundo voice. I mean, it just resonated all over the place. And he would do a 10-minute bit at the end of his show every morning. And the engineer waited until the very end of the show, and then ever so slowly brought the pitch up. Nobody knew anything about real-time pitch change in those days. The only way to do it was a tape player, right? And Fred's voice reduced with lower pitch to compensate. And pretty soon the windows in the studio are going in and out like this.
So Fred heard his voice higher, and yeah, so he lowered
he compensated
it some more.
And he could. He could compensate the heck out of it. The story that I experienced or caused was back at this station in Illinois. It was actually an FM and an AM daytimer. And on Friday nights, as the all-night jock working from 10 a.m. to 6 a.m., oftentimes a number of friends from the community would come over, sit in the studio and shoot the shit and all that kind of stuff. And eventually some of them would go off into the AM studio, listen to the FM air sound on the console there, and sit and talk among themselves. Well, one of the people that was there was a young lady by the name of Susan. And she was known very much as she had a very good reputation, a very prudish reputation, I might say. And she was sitting on her boyfriend's lap in the AM studio. Well, at the end of a song, I started two songs on two turntables, one long song, normally used for going to the bathroom, and one short song, which I then switched to the audition channel and fed the speaker in that other studio. So she didn't have any idea. At the end of the short song, I talked over the bridge of another song I had started and said that we're really glad to have Susan out here tonight. She's sitting on her boyfriend Sam's lap. If you'd like to have her sit on your lap some night, give her a call. And I gave her home phone number. There was an eruption in the other studio.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Dear listener, you're listening or watching to This Week in Radio Tech, episode 538. We've got gathered here some terrific engineers and programmers from the world of radio. We're not done, but I am going to take a quick break for our sponsors who make the show possible. And we're going to have a longer than usual last segment, because I think we got a few more stories to tell with these terrific engineers and programmers that are here. So we're going to take a quick break. And I'm going to tell you about, if you've got some hilarious audio that is stuck on your phone and you want to put it on the air, this box will do it for you. This box right here is the Angry Audio Bluetooth audio gadget. The Bluetooth audio gadget, you put it in your studio, even if it's a small studio, even if your only audio console is one of those Rodecaster Pros, or maybe it's a Mackie or a Behringer console. It doesn't have to be a big console. This has your outputs on it right here. And it's got an input on it, too. This connects with Bluetooth to your phone. You pair it up with this little button right here. Listen. Yep, it's a spring-loaded button. You pair it up with your phone. And, hey, multiple users. If you've got different people in the studio, multiple people can have their phone paired with this. So when you walk in, you turn on your Bluetooth, you connect up your phone to this, and you can do a couple of different things. You can carry on a phone conversation and put that on the air. You put your cell phone, and this becomes like your phone hybrid. And so you can send a mix minus back to the caller through the Bluetooth audio gadget, and you can get the caller in the best quality possible on the air. The other thing, though, is let's say you have an interview recorded on your phone, or you have some music on your phone. No problem. You can just pair it up. It'll play audio from your phone into this wirelessly and then put that into your audio console. It is an awesome device. And if, by the way, if you do want to wire, if you got a little tip ring sleeve connector for your phone, you can use a cable and hook it right into this too. So you don't have to use Bluetooth if you want to do it some other way. This makes a great interface. It balances the audio from unbalanced to balanced and will get you a great connection to from your phone to your audio console. Check it out. Angry Audio is the website, angryaudio.com. And besides this product, they've got lots of cool things. In fact, our friend Bill Jackson on the show here today, he just put in some cool things from Angry Audio in his new studios in Franklin, Tennessee. For Angry Audio gear is available at lots and lots of dealers, but you want to check out, find out what you want first. Go to angryaudio.com. And if you're missing Studio Hub, well, it's back. It's been back actually for over a year now. Angry Audio now owns Studio Hub, and you can get all your favorite adapters and cables and connectors and things to make your life a whole lot easier in wiring up your studios with Studio Hub gear from Angry Audio. Hey, This Week in Radio Tech is also brought to you in part by our friends at Max Connect Wireless, and here's Gary Morrill.
I'm Gary Morrill, Midwest Regional Director of Engineering for Alpha Media. When I first spoke with Josh Bone about Max Connect, he told me they'd work great for remote transmitter sites where connectivity was a challenge. And you know, he's absolutely right. We even have sites where we're using this as a backup to our STL using Max Connect's dual carrier option, and it works perfectly. We also have times where we need to be able to get out to a venue where it's kind of challenging because everybody and his brother is trying to stream video at the same time, like at a big sporting event. And you know what? Our data gets through every time because it's prioritized packet data. It works for us. It'll work for you. Max Connect. Check it out.
That's so cool. Max Connect Wireless, the website, maxconnectwireless.com. Yeah, I know it's a lot to type, and it's also a lot to spell funny. So you can use the link in the show notes. So if you're watching this on YouTube, there's a link down below. If you're watching this on my website, thisweekinradiotech.com, click the link and get yourself a Max Connect Wireless. They really do work. They have saved my bacon a couple of times. All righty, we are talking about funny things and April Fools and pranks, and you know, broadcasters have been involved with pranks for a long time. Cam Cornelius, you have just been around the world with acting on stage, right, and screen and voice and so forth.
Don't forget radio imaging.
Imaging, come absolutely,
on. That's
absolutely.
It, yes.
The go to. Yeah, you've done what, some things for Broadway, I believe. Miss Maisel or something?
Yeah, and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I've worked with them. And done a whole lot of voices for all kinds of things all over the world. So
well. So in your travels and your work in radio, did you have something else to have another prank to tell us about?
Well, just a couple of memories because I love pranks and everything myself. So one, you wouldn't think of NPR having, a bunch of comedy going on, but on April Fools, they really have some doozies. And one year, All Things Considered did a story about the extinction facing the Vince Lombardi Fondue Springs, the last surviving natural fondue spring in the United States. located in...
I'm kind of hungry now.
Located in Wisconsin's fondue country.
Of course it was.
So it's basically, they said for years the springs have been a point of pilgrimage for cheese enthusiasts.
Is this anywhere near Fond du Lac?
Fond du Lac. And basically, the fondue pocket was reducing. And if steps weren't taken, they warned the cheese would soon be gone. So,
oh no,
no more cheese curds.
That was a favorite. And another one was, and you're talking about kind of the litigation and how society is now.
Yeah.
And this was back in 2013 in Florida. A morning show did a whole big thing on people to be careful around their faucets, because faucets around the city were emitting dihydrogen monoxide.
Oh no. Oh.
And it actually scared a bunch of people, and the morning show got suspended. And the DA looked into it. The DA was going to press charges, and they did nothing. They did nothing but tell the truth. But So be careful. Oh. Dihydrogen monoxide's coming out of faucets all over the city.
Get you every time.
Wasn't so. That the case that started the FCC and cracking down on these?
They did, because they're like, don't mess with what was it? Don't mess with water supply, food supply, and whatever. There's all kinds of rules now not to mess with it. It came
from that case in Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, that was this is a big one.
Wow. Wow. So as we went through the show, I know it was Chuck and Cam that said they had another story. If you got something else, raise your hand. Okay, Chris here, we'll jump to you, and Bill, we'll get to you next. So Chris, take it away.
So the timing on this one wasn't, I don't think it was actually at April Fool's, but it definitely would have applied well. Think back, remember if you will, when sound cards were the new thing. We all had PCs, and adding a sound card was a big deal. I had a program director whose last name was Newman. So he had to have a sound card, had to have one of the first in the station. And, oh, I have a visitor. My cat is behind me now. Hi, buddy.
Kitty cat.
He was leaning on me. I got to have a sound card, All right, fine. So got a hold of one, put it in, you know, installed it and everything. Well, I thought, with all the grief he was giving me about how big of a deal he had to have the sound card, what can I do to him? So I went out and I found snippets from the Seinfeld show of every instance of a character greeting Newman on the show. So I had, I don't know how many clips of "Hello, Newman," in all sorts of variations, and I strung them together in probably the longest Windows opening sound you have ever heard. But I didn't stop there. I made every one of his system sounds that wave file. It probably took about 2 minutes to play.
Wow.
So, and of course, he had to have the sound card hooked into the stereo in his office. So when I was done in the evening, after hours, I plugged it in and I turned the stereo up at a pretty good volume and left it. So first thing in the morning, and I made sure I got in early that morning, I'm hearing him rummaging around in his office a little bit, and I, you know, I'm hearing click, and I'm like, okay, here it comes. And sure enough, in the whole station you hear, "Hello, Newman, Newman, Newman," just on and on and on. And bit of a time delay, and then he started laughing. And then it kept going, and he stopped laughing. And he finally came into my office and asked when it was going to stop. And that's about the time it did. We all had a good chuckle about it. So, of course, then he went into his office and he opened email, and it started again. So,
remind me not to piss you off, Chris.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. Speaking of sound cards, check out this for your kind of joke. Spot.
That's a big daddy.
Isn't that great? New piece of equipment here, the Sound Blaster Pro.
That might have been the thing that I installed, actually.
Is that mono or stereo?
It's stereo.
Wow.
Oh, 32K.
Back in the early 90s, could I tell one here?
Please do.
Okay, back in the early 90s, we had an AMF and we were simulcasting, but I had a studio set up so you could split programming on the AM from the FM. And we had a morning show guy who had a habit of running into the production room and recording his flatulence. And so he would then put it on a cart, and I found the cart and go into the extra studio during lunch. We tune the radio in the break room, the AM station, and I would play the flatulence noise at certain breaks on the air on the AM. And I said, well, if somebody calls and asks, what was that noise? You just tell them, well, it must have been a power line or something, you know. So had the girls in the break room just dying laughing. But it was on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're such a bunch of juveniles, aren't we?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Jackson, I think you had something to say about this.
It's fun if you can get your competition unknowingly to pull an April Fool's Day joke.
Ooh.
So,
okay, thanks for that.
I am not... I cannot admit any guilt to this prank.
Of course you can.
Nor can I describe the market that it went to. And by the way, the views expressed by this panel are not necessarily the attitude of Educational Media Foundation, K-Love, Air One, or any subsidiaries. But in a former life, when I was not so nice, and in programming, one of our competition in a very competitive market decided that around a parade that was supposed to be held on April Fool's Day, that the week prior they would promote that they would be throwing out Easter eggs. And inside of the Easter eggs would be various prizes, including the fact that you could win $109.60 for Magic 109.6. That got me thinking, I can buy Easter eggs. I have a printer. It's a parade.
Oh, no.
I know people. And we printed these little slips inside of it that said, congratulations, you've won $109.60 from Magic 109.6. Please show up at our office to win such and such, blah, blah, blah. And then down at the bottom, in the smallest font possible, April Fool joke. But you could barely read it. And so we know people, and there were lots of floats that had over 2,000 of these eggs that they threw out.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With friends like you, who needs enemies?
Right.
Wow. You're a bad man, Bill Jackson.
What was the reaction from 109.6? Whatever it was.
That they weren't happy. Oh. Just a hunch.
Well, what was funny is because it forced them, with those people that showed up to claim the $109.60, it forced them to read the slip and them have to tell them, but it's an April Fool's Day prank. So they're unknowingly having the April Fool's Day prank. And yeah. Oh, we're only sitting there.
And it looked like they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like the station that had a promotion to give away a toy Yoda.
Yeah.
Ah.
Toy Yoda.
I would have loved being in the car when everybody was trying to find 109.6. So.
I think the names were changed to protect the innocent. So.
Yes.
Have you ever
wanted to? Don't want to let anybody know what market that was. That's, yeah. That,
I understand.
Yeah. But I don't recall my potential role in that or anything of the sort. Okay.
Wow.
Hey, if you like these type of pranks,
yeah,
and you like this kind of revelry, by the way, we're looking for good studio people, guys that know their way around AOIP and things like that, selfless, shameless plug.
This is not an April Fool's joke.
No, this is where Caleb.com, search jobs, Caleb jobs. We're actually hiring 2 studio engineers, studio technicians. So if you need something, you want to hang with some cool people and do some really innovative things, check it out. Let us know. We'd love to talk to you.
Hey, Bill, I'll put that link in the show notes as well.
Hey, thank you.
Okay. Hey, we just got a couple more minutes. Who's got a follow-up story? Anybody want to raise your hand? No? No?
I'm looking through my notes here. Yep, covered it. Covered it. Covered it. Covered it.
The fact that he took notes for this.
It's actually wasn't a prank. It was a prank on me.
All right, Chris.
I was working in Miami, Florida. WVCGAM, the voice of Coral Gables. We had a 50,000-watt signal that covered the fishes just great. The program was all brokered program time. So it went from a klezmer music hour to a Spanish talk show to a Haitian Creole medical show. I mean, it was all over the place, back to back. It was
really freshwater or saltwater fishes, Chris?
Well, there were no dolphins harmed. I know that.
That's so very good.
So anyway, I'm a board op. This is early in my career. And one show goes out. I think it might have been the klezmer music show. And in comes this Haitian doctor who has a health talk show. And it's all in Haitian Creole. And, you know, I'm the guy from Cincinnati. I took German in school, so I was great on the klezmer hour. I understood all the Yiddish jokes. I got nothing on the French department. So they sit down in the studio, and he opens his show. And, you know, it's the same formula every time. You play their opening music cart. He says hello. And then he gives you the signal, which is play my commercial. And, of course, it was one cart with 17 different spots for other doctors. Well, he comes in, he sits down, and he's talking, and I'm, you know, getting things together. And I have the commercial cart plugged in the machine. And he says his opening bit, and he sits back in his chair, and he gives me the cue. So I hit the button. And the look of horror in all their faces was, I mean, it puzzled me. And I, you know, I'm alone in the control room, and they're on the talk studio, which, while we face each other, of course, it's, you know, 1,000 yards to get around the building to get into me with no talk back. And I'm like, what's going on? They're staring at me like I just shot somebody, right? And the show, one of the producers comes hustling around, probably the biggest person on the team as well. So I heard him coming too. Busts into the door and just yells, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. And I'm okay. So I pot everything down. And so now there's dead air. And she says, turn his mic on. Or he says, turn his mic on. So I turn his mic back on and he says something again. And I didn't understand it. Only this time when he finishes, he's looking me dead in the eye and he finishes talking and he just leans back and crosses his arms and he doesn't take his eyes off me. And so I'm sitting there and I look at, you know, the big guy next to me and I look at him and I, what's going on? And the big guy says, his colleague died last week and he was paying an homage and he asked for a moment of silence and you played a commercial. Oh, God, really? Well, sorry, but you didn't tell me. I didn't know. To top it off, the commercial I played was for the guy who died. Oh, so I know this isn't really a funny prank. It was kind of funny at the time, kind of very embarrassing. One of those situations of, yeah, I guess I'm done in radio. But, you know, 50,000-watt signal over the water. Who's going to hear it anyway, right?
Well, to end on a light note. So,
yeah, I know. Yeah, I realize I probably shouldn't have saved that for the very end of the show. Hey, it's the Casey Kasem bit. Who sends me this thing about their dead dog?
Yeah. Chris, like you said, the joke was on you.
Yep, very much so.
Thanks for taking one for the team here, the comedy team. We got to go. This has been a great pleasure to be with you guys, and I guess once every 7 years on This Week in Radio Tech, the show will land on April Fool's Day.
Careful,
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Careful,
dump button.
Oh, this has been great. Hey, thanks you all for joining us. So we got Chuck Kelly. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being with us. Jim Graham. Hello, Jim Graham. Bill peace. Jackson. peace to you. Bill Jackson from K-Love. Robert Combs. Thanks for being here. Chris Shearer. Appreciate you. Cornelius Gould. Thanks for being here, buddy. Dave Suplee. And finally, Cam Cornelius. Thank you all.
VoiceOverDude.com.
VoiceOverDude.com. I'll put you in the show notes.
All right.
Okay. All right. You guys take care. We're going to see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech.
All
Bye-bye.
Right.